Let's go before the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing upon his word. We need his blessing upon his word. We need him to teach us, or else we'll hear nothing. Not because the truth was not shared, but because the Lord did not teach it. The Lord did not cause you to hear it. So let's ask him for his blessing and understanding. For me and for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless you. We thank you this morning. We honor you for all things. We thank you, Lord, for our Savior, Jesus Christ, his faithfulness to accomplish our salvation and to constitute us as righteous because of his obedience even unto death on the cross. I pray and thank you for the Holy Spirit who declares this truth to us, that we are sinners, and yet we have such a hope in him. And because of that, we shall not come unto judgment unto condemnation, but judgment unto justification and life. We thank you for the faithful testimony of the Holy Spirit and the scriptures. And we ask now for help as we go into the story of Rahab, that we may glean more nuggets about who we are and also God's way of salvation. We pray, Lord, all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, amen. And that means, again, we are back in the book of Hebrews. We are still in Hebrews chapter 11. And today we are going to be working one verse, but we're going to read two verses. And the writer of Hebrews, by the Holy Spirit, says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." So this is what we're going to do. Verse 30 appears in Joshua chapter 6. Verse 31 appears in Joshua chapter 2. And we need Joshua chapter 2 to make sense of verse 30. Okay? So we have to start with verse 31, and then next week we'll do verse 30. That's the connection. Okay? So we have many titles here. Actually, we have many titles here. Sermon title number one, we have The harlot Rahab did not perish. The number two title is The God of Harlots. And number three title is How Did Rahab Get Into Hebrews 11? How did Rahab get into Hebrews 11? And number four title is Rahab, the Harlot, and Christ. Rahab, the Harlot, and Christ. And we're going to quickly go into our text, and we'll begin here to develop our message and its context. And we have a very wonderful message, if the Lord would grant it. We have some wonderful things that you've never heard of about this story and its connection to the gospel. So we're going to work the context of Rahab and the testimony of righteousness, how she became a righteous woman. And essentially, we are answering the question of, how does God save a sinner if you are one? You have to be a sinner to be saved of God. And the gospel is only good news to those who hear it as a sinner, not someone who is hearing it to see what they can use the gospel for in their life, to tame things that are not working in their life. That's not what the gospel is for. You have to hear it as a sinner. And the question is, what kind of a sinner are you? Are you really a real sinner like Rahab, or you're just a pretend sinner? Okay? So we'll answer that by the scriptures and the Holy Spirit helping us. So God has commissioned Joshua to lead his people into the promised land after the death of Moses. Joshua 1 verse 1 to 2, we hear this by Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Moses is dead. God said it. Moses is dead. God killed him because he did not honor the Lord when he struck the rock twice instead of only once. And God's punishment was that Moses could only see the promised land from afar, but never to enter it. Moses was supposed to strike the rock, who is Christ, one time. Christ to be punished one time for the sins of his people, because he accomplished salvation, and not to be struck again. And Moses, a picture of the law, struck twice, and God was not happy. And God was not happy, because when the Christ offered himself, he accomplished salvation for all time. Okay? So God teaches that truth of the law to say the law cannot take God's people into his promises using the anger of Moses. And so Moses could only see the promised land from afar, because the law only shows or testifies of the promises of God in Christ. But it will not cause a sinner to enter into those promises. Therefore, Joshua, a type of Christ, has to succeed. He has to lead God's people into his promise. Hear this, Deuteronomy 34, 4 to 7. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I'll give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there. You shall not cross over there. God is speaking to Moses. Moses shall not cross over there into the promised land. And that means in the fullness of time, the covenant of the law, as was represented by Moses, could not and cannot cross over into the new covenant to bless, to manage, and to guide God's people. That is very clear teaching to me. I don't know why people play gymnastics with this truth and want Moses to cross over. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy 34. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. Moses died there in Moab on top of a mountain, Mount Nebo, and he died according to the word of the Lord. God killed Moses. And guess who buried him? Verse 6. And he buried him. God both killed and buried Moses in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. No one knows where Moses was buried, because the law of Moses is gone. Anyone who is trying to put the true believer under Moses is claiming that they found the grave of Moses, or they're claiming that Moses did not die at the hands of the Lord. Moses died at the hands of Christ on Mount Calvary. Moses died at the hands of Christ that were outstretched on the cross on Mount Calvary. That's where he died. And his grave was nowhere to be seen. The only grave that we saw was the grave of Christ. And even then, after 3 days, that tomb was empty. Verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Pay attention to that. He died at 120 years old. His eyes were not dim. He had very good vision. And his natural vigor was diminished, which means Moses did not die of sickness. Moses did not die of sickness. That tells you that the covenant of the law was nailed to the cross with all its power to condemn, with its vision, to see your sin, to condemn the sinner, as a warning to the sinner who should try to resurrect Moses back to life. If you should resurrect Moses back to life, guess what? You're going to find him with good vision and with the power to condemn. This is why Moses died, not of sickness, but God is he who killed him. And this testimony is also important in our continuing discussion of faith, that Moses was not made righteous by law keeping. Moses did not keep the law. The writer of Hebrews has argued against that and said Moses was only a servant in God's house to testify of the greater and better things that would later be revealed, and that means Christ. Christ is greater than Moses. Christ is better than the law. My friends, people don't get this right. Moses was not the son, and thus you should not look to a servant of Christ for your salvation and upkeep. The hired servant, of which Moses was, cannot give you an inheritance, because the inheritance of salvation is not of law, but is of grace, is of promise. And these are things that are only found in the Son, in one who is Son. The servanthood of Moses in God's house was not to sanctify or justify anyone, or to bring anyone into God's promises, but was to point and testify of Christ. Moses was just a road sign on the way to Christ. Moses was not the destination. Okay? The servanthood of Moses was not to cause or help anyone with salvation. Salvation is in the one who is Son. The Son is he who sets free. The Son is he who has the right of inheritance and has the inheritance, the heir of all things. All things have been given to him by the Father. So it is the Son who sets free. The law does not set free. The law does the very opposite. It brings into bondage. It brings into slavery. It makes one weary and heavy laden. It is the Son who says, come to me. It is the Son who says, you are free. It is the Son who says, you are clean. I'll give you a burden that is light. And by the way, you are clean, not by your doing, but by the word that I've spoken. I have made you righteous. I have pronounced you as righteous. And Moses cannot speak and make you clean. Only the Son can and has spoken. Only Christ, God's final high priest, can make that pronouncement on the sinner and say, you are clean. To say you are clean is the high priest coming and saying, he has examined you for leprosy. Understand me? The leprosy of sin. And he has determined by his judgment and by his qualification and by his office that you are free of leprosy. And that means you are free of the condemnation of your sin. That is what the pronouncement by the high priest means? It means you're free of condemnation. And that is scandalous. That does not sound right. But that is the truth of the gospel. That is what the Son has spoken. And that is the gospel that we now declare to you, if God will grant mercy for you to receive it. So how was Moses saved? Hebrews 11, 26 to 28. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. Moses esteemed Christ more than the treasures of Egypt. He looked to the reward. Now question, where did Moses look to the reward? At Mount Sinai or at Mount Calvary? Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses endured as seeing him, that is Christ, who is invisible. Moses endured seeing the invisible Christ. And if we are using the law rightly, it should help us to see him who is the invisible, because that's what Moses saw. Any other testimony or understanding short of that is not a rightful use of the law. Verse 28 of Hebrews 11. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And Moses saw the invisible Christ in the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, and that by faith alone, and this is how God was pleased with him. In the writer of Hebrews is saying, faith is the only way to connect and see the invisible. That's the only way to connect with God. Faith is the only way to connect to Christ. But faith is not the righteousness itself. Christ is the righteousness. Christ is the justification, the holiness, the redemption. Christ is the reward, is the blessing, is the inheritance, is the life, and is the everything. Because some want us to only talk a few things about Christ. They want to leave room for us to talk about them. They do not want for us to give the whole stage to Christ. They do not want us to make everything about him. So they'll come and say, that is unbalanced. Give us also a few minutes to talk about me, to talk about us, speak to my own issues. We too are holy. We too are important. And like the children of Israel in the desert, they'll say, we loathe this miserable bread. We hate this miserable bread. We eat this manna every day. We hear of this gospel all the time, and it is always about Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus. Please change the menu. Put some curly fries in there. Change the menu and put some chocolate shake with it. And spice it up for us and talk about us and our issues. Talk about my own righteousness. Talk about my own obedience. My friends, if you're one of those people who think like this, you've been bewitched. This matter is not about you at all. No, my dear friends, there's not much to talk about you and me. Other than that, we are sinners. You are a sinner, saved by God's grace alone. And that is a whole lot to talk about right there, here and forever. Your validation has to come from the knowledge of Christ, seeing yourself in him and what he has done for you. not what you are trying to do for him. Understand me? But let us go to our story that the Lord has set for us today to glean into the story of a dear sister who did not have the best of resumes or CVs. You could not be reading Rahab's CV or resume and say, okay, this is a girl that we're going to hire to be or whatever to work. Rahab is not it, especially in the eyes of other sinful men and women. But she had one good resume with the one who matters, with the one who is God, the God who loved and saved him. And that is Sister Rahab the harlot. And just to hear that the self-righteous want to pick up their stones and condemn her or say, of course, she had to have stopped her harlotry for God to save her. My friends, the text nowhere says that. Her salvation was conditioned not on her stopping harlotry. It is there in the text, and we will work it. See that God did not say, Rahab, who used to be a prostitute. Hear the text again from Hebrews 11:31. The text says, by faith the hallowed Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab was referred to as the harlot Rahab, even as she was being counted among the righteous, because harlotry is more than about her trade. Harlotry was her human condition and status as a sinner. Even if she only sold vegetables at the corner stand market, leprosy was not about the disease. It was not about the infection. It spoke to something bigger and deeper at the spiritual level. The infection that has happened at the spiritual level, the outside experience of it only exegeted. It only explained. It only demonstrated the inside reality. And that is the point. And a woman or man is a harlot. Every one of them is a harlot because they're a sinner born in Adam. There's none who is not a harlot, who is not Christ Jesus. Understand me? So the thief on the cross, even on his very last hour, he was still identified as a thief. He didn't even have a name. He went into glory as a thief. He went into glory as a thief. So Rahab went into glory, and her name still was Rahab the harlot. And we'll now go into the text of Joshua to see in what manner Sister Rahab exhibited the faith that pleased God. The faith that saw the invisible, and in what manner she saw the invisible Christ, to say, do not judge the eternal status of people ultimately by their trade of sin, by their miniskirt. Because some and a lot are going to go to hell even in their long dresses. Because the matter of salvation is not about how short or long your dress is. The question is, whose dress is it that you're wearing? Are you wearing the dress given by Christ alone, or you're wearing the garment of your own making? Even though it may appear long in your own sight, it still will fall short of what God requires for salvation. So we have to look to the gospel that people believe for us to determine saved from lust. Because some of these prostitutes have been given eyes to see and believe in Christ, and they know that in their flesh nothing good dwells. So they look to the outside. They look to the Christ. And they put their hope and confidence not in their own righteousness, but in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Joshua 2, 1 to 24, we're going to work our understanding all the way to the end. The text says, now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. The spies, identity not given, could have been Caleb, who went with Joshua in an earlier expedition in Numbers 13. But when we get to Joshua 6, it says they were young men. So I'm not sure if Caleb was even one of the two. But what we know is there were two spies sent of Joshua. And we know that the two spies entered the land of Canaan. And Jericho was their first port of call to spy and to attack. They did not have an unmanned aerial spying vehicle. And so they had to enter in. And these two men came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. I mean, these are new men in town, and the first place they come to is to lodge with a woman who was a harlot. I mean, of all the people in Jericho, this is where they came to. How did they know to come to a house? And how did they know that she was a harlot? Let's keep working. Verse 2 of Joshua 2. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. How did the king of Jericho know that the men were in town just as soon as they had arrived? Because there were people who were checking out who was coming and going in of Rahab's house. Because contrary to what people think, thieves and prostitutes are information senders. They know the game in town. They know who is coming to town. They know who has money and who does not have money. They are the first port of call of many things. And that is why it is not true to say that the thief on the cross knew nothing about Jesus. Being a thief or a prostitute is not the same thing as being ignorant. The thief on the cross was just a thief. That was just his trade. And he could not have been successful at his career if he sucked at information gathering. Thieves hack credit cards of companies and individuals. And they do have all kinds of information. The thief on the cross would have hacked the money bag that Judas kept if he had internet. Or if Judas was using a credit card. Verse 3. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab saying, bring out the man who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. The king gets the message about Rahab and sends his messengers. The king surely knows about Rahab's harlotry, and he says nothing about it. He does not condemn her for it. That's not his concern. It seems his concern is only for those who came to spy out the land. So the king knows a few things about Rahab. Rahab is no ordinary girl, even though she is a harlot. She is known in both the high and low places and even in foreign places outside of Jericho. But we see that the port of entry for Joshua and his men was through the house of a Gentile harlot, Rahab. When Joseph went into Egypt, pay attention, what was his first port of entry? Miss Potiphar's house. Another Gentile harlot, a sinner. And when Christ came into Samaria, guess what? A Gentile territory. Who did he meet there? He met another Gentile harlot, the Samaritan woman. You have had 5 husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. Why? Because that's what defines the mission of Christ and the kind of people that he's looking for. Tamar, another Gentile woman, did not get the blessing until she did what? Until she played what? Until she played the harlot with Judah, the type of Christ. To say Jesus did not come to serve, and that means to bless those who are well men and women, but the sick, the harlots. These are they who are on the guest list of Jesus. If you are not a harlot, Jesus has nothing for you. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I pass on to you as of first importance." This is my point. Pay attention to verse 3. "For I passed on to you as of first importance," Paul says, "what I also received. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The 2 spies sent by Joshua were gospel preachers, and they had to deliver to the harlot the message of first importance." That is why Rahab is in Hebrews 11, that Christ died for our sins, as Joseph delivered this same message to Miss Potiphar before Joseph could go to glory and become the prime minister of Egypt. Guess what? He had to deliver the message of Christ to a Gentile Miss Potiphar by leaving her with his garment. The garment of Christ was in the garment of Joseph. Let us hear. "Then the woman took the 2 men," going back to Joshua 2, "then the woman took the 2 men and hid them. So she said, 'Yes, the man came to me, but I did not know where they were from.' And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the man went out. Where the man went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." Rahab hides the 2 men and lies and says, "Yes, indeed, the man did come to me. They did come to my house. And you know my line of business. I receive all kinds of men here. We have an open door policy and a revolving door. But surely I did not know where they were coming from, did not know their identity. I did not check their IDs at the door. And we don't print receipts in this business either. And my printer died and ran out of ink a couple of months ago. And it happened as the gate was being shut," Rahab says, "when it was dark, that the man went out. But where the man went, I have no idea. But if you don't waste time talking to me and pursue them now, you may overtake them and find them." Verse 6. "But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. When she saw the soldiers approaching her house, she took the spies and hid them beneath the stalks of flax. She had been placed on a flat roof for drying. And if you know anything about agriculture, flax is also known as linseed. And after flax stalks were pulled up at harvest time, they were soaked in water for 3 to 4 weeks, or as needed to separate the fibers. Then after drying in the sun, the flax was made into linen cloth. Okay? So, if you do a little bit more research, you learn this, that textiles made from flax are known in the Western countries as linen. And traditionally, that's what is used for bed sheets and underclothes and table linen. So Rahab had taken these spies and hid them there. Essentially, she buried them in these stalks of flax on top of the roof of her house. Verse 7. Then the man pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. So the men were sent on a wild goose chase. And when they had gone, Rahab and company shut the gate. It is crazy, because Rahab had not yet discussed anything with these men. And so the spies who stalked Rahab had a very efficient system to relay messages to the king about possible intruders, because they were there like 2 minutes later. Verse 8 to 9 of Joshua 2. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the man, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you." Rahab begins to make confession, to give testimony. She has determined that these two men, by the way they look, are Israelites. And she knows quite a bit of what God has done with them. You see, again, to my earlier point, that the thief on the cross was not ignorant. For those who say he was ignorant, not at all. Pay attention to the testimony of Rahab. She knows what the Lord has done. The thief on the cross was an Israelite. He was raised on the scriptures. He memorized the scriptures. And he had everything that Jesus was doing in Jerusalem. That is why he, at the beginning, was also mocking Jesus, saying, "If you are the Son of God, you take yourself and us down." He knows about what the Son of God is able to do. Hear all the detail that Rahab has, and yet she did not even have internet or an Android phone or an iPhone. She continued and said, verse 10, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." She heard of the passing of the Red Sea. She heard that gospel of the passing of the Red Sea by the hand of the Lord. "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Hear that testimony from a prostitute. She heard about the true God and the miracles that he had done. And she said, our hearts melted. But if your heart melted, Sister Rahab, why then did you continue in your harlotry business? Well, I had bills to pay. And because harlotry is what she was, because in a flesh, nothing good dwelt. The sister was a sinner. Harlotry is not something that you just decide to stop. Sin is not something that you just decide to stop. But sin is not stopped by stopping. Sin is stopped by believing in the righteousness of Christ. This is what drives religious people crazy. Sin is not stopped by stopping. It is stopped by coming and resting in Christ. Understand me? Verse 12. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Rahab says, I beg you, I've been kind to you, and may you return the favor. But not just to me, but to all of my father's house. And whilst we are at this, please give me a true token. Give me a true token of salvation. A guarantee that you and your God will not come and destroy me and my father's household. Because surely I know you are headed this way sooner than later. I know the judgment of God is headed this way sooner or later. She says, deliver my family, deliver my father, mother, my brothers and sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. May you cause us to pass from death unto life. Is that something that you are able to do for me? Is that something that you are willing to be bound for my sake? Do you have in your company someone who is willing to be bound by such testimony by one who is only but a prostitute with nothing else to give? I am just a prostitute, but I have a plea to your God to say, can he bind himself to save me from death? Is he willing to make me clean? Verse 14. So the man answered, here, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Hear what the man said. Our lives for yours, if you don't spill the beans of our business to anyone. So the deal was substitutionary atonement. Death in the place of another. The spies say, we are willing to exchange our lives for your own life. That is the deal. That is the pact. That is the contract. That is the covenant. That is the token. That is the verbal agreement. And it's binding. Verse 15. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. Then Rahab let the man down by a rope through the window. Her house was on the city wall. And she dwelt on the wall. The city wall was for the protection of the city. And Sister Rahab had her house built right on the wall. And that means she was a watchman, a watchwoman of sorts. She is there to preach something because she sees everyone who is going in and out of town. And there's no better person than having one who is a prostitute to do your intelligence gathering, an early warning system. Rahab was the intelligence and early warning system for the city of Jericho. That is why her house was built on the city wall, the very entrance into Jericho. But she is turning up to be a James Bond type of girl, a double agent in this matter, because typically she would have been reporting all the intruders to the king, but now she is hiding the intruders. She's a double agent. Hear this about the watchman from Ezekiel 33:1-6. Ezekiel says, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from the territory and make him their watchman. You see that? The people of the land who appoint a man or whomever they thought would do that well and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, you see the function of the watchman who is to be on the city wall, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. The watchman was a guard for the whole community. Sister Rahab is right on the wall, and she saw the sword coming by way of the spies. And yet she did not blow the trumpet. She did not of herself warn the city that the Israelites were coming to attack the city. That was her purpose on that wall. So in addition to being a harlot, she has to die because she did not warn the people. But Sister Rahab lives. Sister Rahab does not die. Hear this. Going back to Joshua, we'll keep connecting the pieces. Joshua 2:16, and she said to them, to the spies, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. Rahab says, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you and kill you. Hide there in the mountains for 3 days until those who seek you have returned, and afterward, you may freely go your way. Hear this. Hear the conditions of the covenant with Rahab. Before the men left, they wanted to expand on the covenant that they had earlier spoken and agreed to with Rahab. Verse 17. So the man said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear. The man said, we shall not be imputed with any wrongdoing, with any sin, with the guilt of this oath of yours, which you have made us to swear, unless these conditions are met. To say, the conditions of salvation are not established by the one who needs to be saved. the conditions of salvation are established by the one who does the saving. You understand me? So God in Christ is He who has established all the terms of salvation, and Christ is He who has fulfilled those terms. Now the terms of that covenant are now being expounded or expanded, being fleshed out. Verse 18, unless they say, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, in the window through which you let us down from your roof. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home, the men say, let us give you a more faithful token of how this thing works. You have to bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And secondly, we are bound to this covenant only if you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. You have to put them under your own roof. The man said, you have to bring all your household to your very own home and do not go to theirs. And when they have come, you have to put on the window the scarlet cord. Okay, spies. What kind of spies are you who talk like that? What are you making of this harlot? Rahab, my friends, is more than just a prostitute. She has a house on top of the city wall. She is a watchman, and she receives and does business with sinners because she can only be in business because of other sinners seeking her services. Rahab is not the only prostitute. Everyone who is coming to her is also a prostitute, because Rahab cannot be in business if there were no other prostitutes who were coming to her. Okay? My friends, Rahab is also a type of Christ. Rahab, trust me, is a type of Christ. And that will offend some people, because Christ shows up in Rahab, who is a prostitute, is part of the offense of the gospel. People who accept Solomon as a type of Christ, but Solomon had 1,000 women, 300 wives, and 700 concubines, prostitutes. Understand me? David was a type of Christ. He's acceptable. But what did David do? So here's my point. Sister Rahab is also a type of Christ. You shall see. Let us keep working. The spies are no ordinary spies. They are Joshua's spies. They are ambassadors of Joshua. They have come in the name and authority of Joshua, in the name and authority of the God of Israel. And Joshua is a type of Christ, and we shall establish that Joshua in this story was a type of God the Father, who sends His Son to the harlots of the world for their salvation. So the spies speak not as spies, but as Joshua. And Joshua does not speak as Joshua, but as God the Father. And the Holy Spirit is now giving us understanding of the manner in which a harlot has to be served and can only be served. They say, remember, we were on top of your roof. Yes, remember that. Remember, you said, we have to run to the mountains and hide ourselves for 3 days, and then afterwards it will be safe for us. Yes, when the spies were on the roof of the city wall, that was Christ Jesus who was on the city wall as the watchman. The spies were on top of the roof, and that is Christ Jesus, who is being crucified in a picture at Mount Calvary. Rahab is she who took them down from the roof of her house using a rope. And that is Christ who is being taken down from the roof of the cross by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea to be buried. And these spies have to run and seek refuge on a real mountain to complete the picture of the death and resurrection of Christ as the condition of entry into the promised land of God's people, and also the salvation of the elect Gentiles like Rahab. Joshua explains and exegetes the spies, and the spies explain Rahab. Pay attention to that. Joshua explains to us who the spies are, and the spies explain Rahab to us, and all combined testify of God's way of salvation, and that is Christ Jesus. We see the testimony of Christ in Joshua, in the spies, and also in Rahab. Hear this again. The spies say, there's no salvation for you unless we see what? Unless you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. The scarlet cord in the window is a picture of the blood of Christ. Scarlet is red, and this scarlet cord shall be hanging on the window. And when the spies and Israel come, what would they come looking for in her particular context? If Rahab and her household are not to see death, what is it that Joshua and the spies are looking for? They would be looking only for the one thing. They are looking for the scarlet cord. They are looking for the shed blood of Christ and nothing else. That is the only condition for a sinner to be set free from God's judgment that is coming by Joshua, even Christ Jesus. There's only the one thing that is needful, my friends, the gospel of the scarlet cord hanging by the window. That is true religion. Hear of the connection of the scarlet cord and the Passover, Exodus 12, 21 to 23. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, to make the doorposts scarlet with the blood of the Passover. And none of you, listen to this, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. See that if Israel has to be passed over by God's judgment, they have to have the blood of the Passover lamb sprinkled on their doors. And none of them shall go out of the door of his house, this house covered by the blood of the lamb, until the morning. And with Rahab, we are told, She has to gather all her household, her family, and bring them all under her own house, and none should go out either. The house of Rahab is a picture of the New Testament. That is the household that is covered by the scarlet cord. Jesus said, the blood of the new covenant shed for many for the remission of sins. That is what Rahab has in her house and is hoping in. And that is what Israel had in the Passover lamb, the blood on the lintels of their doors. They place their faith of salvation from God's judgment in the blood that was by the window. By the blood that was by the doors. What mattered was that God would see the blood. What mattered was Joshua and the spies would come and see the scarlet cord that was hanging. That's all that mattered. And then none should get out of the boundaries of the house that is covered by the blood, that is covered by the scarlet cord. And that is the New Testament. You can't get out of the New Testament and expect to be saved by any other covenant. Okay? None who gets out of the boundaries of the covenant that is in the blood of Christ will be saved. I'm warning you, my friends, you who mix grace and law, who mix Christ and Moses, who mix grace and works, you don't understand the gospel. You surely don't understand the gospel. You have to stay in the one house. You have to remain within the boundaries of Rahab's house if you belong to the household of Rahab's father. If you belong to the household of Christ's father, you remain in the boundaries of the new covenant that is in the blood of Christ, because that's all where your salvation is. The city of refuge taught that truth also and said, Numbers 35, 26 to 28, but if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, the manslayer has fled to the city of refuge that he may not die. But whilst he has fled there, if they stray out of those limits, the limits of the city. Hear this. And the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of his city of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in his city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the manslayer may return to the land of his possession. You are the manslayer. You are the one who is guilty of sin. The manslayer could not get out of the city of refuge. They had to remain within the boundaries of that city until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with oil, and that is Christ Jesus. The death of Christ is what sets a sinner free. That's the only thing that sets a sinner free. You, my brother and sister, are the manslayer. You are the killer. You are the murderer. You are the prostitute. And that means you are the sinner who has run and sought refuge in Christ, the city of refuge, even the new covenant. Stay there. Stay there. Don't go back to Moses. In the name of, we are doing the moral law. The moral law is represented by the avenger of blood. is coming for you. Stay in the safety of the city of refuge. Stay in the safety of Rahab's house. And God says, if you have sought refuge in Christ, you should remain in Christ. You can't go back to the law because the avenger of blood, the law will kill you. That is why Paul said those who try to take you back to Moses are bewitched and they're trying to bewitch you. You have to remain in the house that has the scarlet cord hanging. To get out of that house is to put yourself in a house that is no blood on the doors. You have put yourselves outside the city walls. No protection. And you shall be condemned. Understand me? You shall be condemned. The surety, the mediation of Christ, the covenant headship of Christ in Rahab. 1 Timothy 2:5. Hear this. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Joshua 2:18 says, we want to connect Rahab with Christ. Rahab is actually more a type of Christ. We're going to keep working that testimony even with the next message that's coming on the Jericho walls next week. Hear this, Joshua 2, verse 18. The spies say this to Rahab. We are going to be bound to this covenant only if these two conditions are met. You have the scarlet cord hanging by a window, and then when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet into the window and through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home, Rahab has to bring all her father's household to her own home. Pay attention to that condition. Why not have Rahab just go to her father's home where everybody else is? Would it not be easy for people to do that? No. They have to come to her home. Why? Because Rahab is a type of Christ. And her home is a picture of the New Testament. This is where God calls believers to come to salvation by grace alone. The New Testament is Christ's home, and Christ has to gather all his sheep to his home, to his own home. That is where he receives all those that were given him by the Father. Christ receives all those that were given him by the Father in the home that he has made for them in the covenant in his blood to give them eternal life. He said to as many as were given him, to give eternal life to as many as were given him. So Rahab has become the head of a father's household. Rahab is the covenant head of all those that are in the father's household. This is some glorious teaching, my friends. Rahab is she who entered into a covenant, and that covenant covered all of her father's household. Here Jesus in John 10:16, Jesus says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring into my house. Them also I must bring into my house, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. All are gathered in Rahab's house as one flock under one shepherd. The one Rahab who has all the instructions of salvation, and they are saved because of another, because of the knowledge of another, By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify the many. Rahab, with her knowledge, she has justified her family from destruction by a covenant that they did not make, but only as recipients of grace. None in Jericho and in Rahab's house can be saved apart from her and remaining under her roof. And they are saved just because they came to her house and nothing else. And they have to be given knowledge of salvation from her, which she got from the spies. The sinner needs to hear the gospel to be saved by those who are sent of God. Even though some may call us spies and antinomians, but we know we have been given the instructions of salvation to declare to you. And those who are of Rahab's household who hear, they will hear. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. And if any of a father's household should leave, they have to come to a house. And that is Jesus saying in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. All who came to Rahab's house were coming from the Father's household. And they will be saved. No doubt about that. And Rahab did not tell this to everybody, but only those as should be saved. That is particular redemption. She was not to publish this business. The Holy Spirit gives knowledge of salvation to only as many as were appointed to eternal life. You understand me? And so God saves his sinners only as many as were appointed to eternal life. These hear the message and repent to the truth about the scarlet cord. Some probably saw the scarlet cord. Some visitors from Jericho came and probably saw the scarlet cord in Rahab's house, and that meant nothing to them. They did not even ask. They thought that cannot save anyone. But that is the simplicity of Christ and the foolishness of the gospel. This matter is not about works, my friends. It is not about the law, because the spies were under the law. They could have said, we need you, Rahab, and your family to follow the law of Moses if you are to live. None of that was spoken, because it is Christ who was in the spies giving the message of salvation to Gentiles. Nor Rahab and her family were in her home doing nothing, feeding no one, not being baptized, not doing any all-night prayers, but just chilling and trusting in the covenant that they had agreed was the truth of their salvation from God's judgment. So a sinner cannot do anything but trust that the words of the spies are sure and steadfast. That is faith. That is the gospel. The spies are types of Christ, because Christ was not from here. Christ came as one who was a spy. He did not belong to the world. He came to the world as the spies came into Jericho. Right? Christ, not of this world, and neither was he from this world. He was the spiritual man from heaven, and yet he came with the knowledge of how the sinner, harlots like Rahab and a family, would escape death. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am he, you die in your sins. John 10:9-11. Jesus says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. Rahab is the door for the salvation of her family. If anyone enters by her into her house, they go in and out into a house, they will be saved. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Understand that? Hear this testimony from Genesis 7:15-16. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Those who went into the ark went in as God had commanded, and the Lord shut him in. Or who went into their homes and had the blood on their doors went in as God had commanded them. Rahab went in and a household and followed the instructions as God had commanded, and the Lord shut them in into the ark, into Christ, shut into the covenant in the blood of Christ, shut into the house of Christ. It is all God's doing. And this matter God also preached through the spies and said what? Joshua 2:19 again. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head and he will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. That is the language that we learn from Ezekiel about the duties and responsibilities of a watchman. The spies continued and said, it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house, Rahab, and into the street, against this order, against this stay at home order, his blood shall be on his own head, which means the covenant that we made will not be binding to serve them outside of its terms. They said, we will be guiltless. So to go outside of the house of Rahab is to go outside of the terms of God's salvation in Christ. And going on the street is someone who begins with the gospel, but then thinks Christ alone is not enough. So they begin to add things. So they begin to go outside to Moses, outside to works righteousness. God says, Rahab will profit you nothing. The scarlet thread will profit you nothing. If you have one leg in Rahab's house and another leg on the street, you have to remain, you have to abide in Christ. Abide in the truth of the gospel of salvation by grace alone, by the truth of Christ. And Paul says in Galatians 5:2-4, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole on. You have become estranged from Christ. You have been severed from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. You have fallen outside of the house of Rahab. Christ is enough all by himself. Christ is enough for your righteousness as well as for your sanctification. Christ has to be your righteousness as he is your sanctification. Because if Christ is not all of those things by himself, you are getting on the street. You are getting out of the house of Christ and going on the street, and you're going to get killed. I'm not lying to you. You can go and read all your confessions of faith and think those people were Jesus Christ who wrote the confessions and be deceived by them. The matter of the truth is this. Christ Jesus is all. Christ is complete in himself, in everything. Christ does not need Moses to keep the believer. Christ has his Holy Spirit to keep his people. I won't take this going on the street theology. Yes, of course, you can accuse me of being an antinomian, but the Lord knows I'm telling the truth. Joshua 2, verse 19b. The spies say, and whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. Pay attention to that. But if anything happens to the one who remains with you in the house, they have to remain in the house, then we will take the liability on ourselves. His blood shall be on our head. If a hand is laid on him or injured in any way, Christ is he who is saying, I am the surety of your salvation. And if any of his people who are in his covenant, covered by his blood, covered by the scarlet thread, if any single thing happens to them, even a single hair, if any that should happen, he's responsible for it. He will take charge of it. He will take the blame for it. Christ is saying, if anyone should be lost of those that were given to him by the Father, he would bear the reproach forever. He will be cursed forever. Christ is willing to be cursed forever should one of the ones given to him by the Father be lost. And praise God, none can be lost. That's the gospel. The spies are taking it upon themselves and swearing to the truth that if anyone remains in the house of Christ, their salvation is guaranteed. Their salvation could not be lost on any other just grounds. And there are no just grounds for any that Christ has saved to lose their salvation. It is unjust for the one that Christ redeemed to lose salvation. It will not happen. Jesus said, John 10, 27 to 30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. The sheep of Christ will never get out of the covenant. They can't. So be careful. If you keep straying out, you may not be the sheep of Christ. You have to remain, abide in the truth of Christ. Jesus says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Christ has to bring all his sheep to the Father. He is bound by a covenant to the Father. He cannot fail. He says, of all that you gave me, I lost nothing except the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. But the spies continued and said, verse 20 of Joshua 2, and if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath which you made us swear. they said you cannot share this information with anyone who is our enemy. We will be released from any obligations that we've made towards you. You see, if we do not understand the legal aspects of salvation, we will not understand the gospel, because many people make the gospel about their obedience. They don't understand the legal aspects of the work of Christ, the union and the representation and the imputation matters of the gospel, because that's the heart of the gospel. The gospel is a legal matter. It is salvation that has happened by representation by someone, in union with that someone, and the merits of that someone, who is Christ Jesus, are freely imputed or credited to the account of the sinner. That's legal stuff. People don't like that. Okay? If you keep talking about that, people will always come and want to talk about your behavior. Okay? And we are not against people who name Christ to behave well. The gospel is not contrary to that. But your behavior is not the gospel. Your behavior cannot save you. The scarlet thread that's hanging, the cross of Christ, that alone is salvation. If we don't understand the legal aspects of the gospel, chances are high that we also believe a false gospel that is conditioned on ourselves. Salvation that is conditioned on you is a false gospel, conditioned on your doing and your faithfulness. That will not work. That's not what God is looking for. That is not what God is looking for. Ask Rahab what God was looking for. Ask Rahab what Joshua was looking for. What the spies were looking for. You're looking for the one thing. The scarlet thread by the window. Do you have that gospel that has only the scarlet thread by the window as your only source of salvation and hope? Hear this. The covenant of salvation for Rahab's family was between her and the spies. And it looked to the scarlet cord, not to their works. If you remove the scarlet cord, hell was going to break loose on her family. And when the spies came, they were not coming to see if Rahab had started on a tithing, whether she had a tithe ready. They knew Rahab was a harlot. They knew, Joshua knew, the spies knew, all of Israel knew. God knew that Rahab was a harlot. But they did not come to her and say, you have to stop being a harlot for the scarlet thread to have power of salvation. It is the gospel that is power of salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew and also to the Gentile, like you, Rahab. The scarlet thread had power because of Christ, because of the cross. They were only looking to the blood, not to whether she had wept long enough for her harlotry. Her harlotry was not an issue, because it was not the condition of her salvation, because the scarlet cord took care of it, because it is about the blood. Joshua and company came and looked for the blood. They came and looked for the scarlet cord. The death angel came and looked for the blood. Without the scarlet cord, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We are declared righteous by his blood alone, and that means we are justified by his grace alone. Verse 21 of Joshua, we're almost done. Then Rahab said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Then Rahab said, let it be as you have spoken. And that to say, let it be God's way of doing salvation. She amended the terms of the covenant. And thus she affirmed that she was a righteous woman. And what did she do? She bound the scarlet cord in the window to say, this is my gospel. This is my righteousness. This is my holiness. Don't look at my hollow tree. Look at my scarlet cord. This is my salvation. This is my looking to the crucified Christ. She had to look to that scarlet thread, and the whole family also looked to that scarlet thread for their salvation. And they just wondered, how could that be? The simplicity of it, the sufficiency of just that scarlet cord. They did not pay for it. They did nothing for it. And yet they saw the Lord's salvation. They rested. They did not work. They were just seated in their home eating chips and Doritos and chicken nuggets. And they passed from death unto life because of what was hanging on the window. Lord Jesus, help your people to understand this gospel. Here this Romans 4:1-5. Paul says, what then shall we say? That Abraham, our father, is found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, if Abraham was justified by anything that he did, anything, he has something to boast about. He has something to beat his chest and say, of course, I did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Look at me. I'm a faithful man. But Paul says, but not before God. Not before God. You have zero. So why are we hearing all this talk about people's own obedience and not hear more of the obedience of Christ? The only obedience that matters. Why are we not hearing more of it? Because people want to boast. For what does the scripture say? Verse 3, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was credited to him for salvation. Credited to him for justification. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. To the one who works for their own salvation, God has to pay you with eternal life and righteousness. Because now God owes you. But God owes no one anything. Okay? So it will never work. God will never pay you with salvation for things that he only freely gives. God is never indebted to anybody. But to him, this is God's work. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Rahab and family, they are ungodly. They did not work for salvation. And that is how Sister Rahab, the prostitute, found herself in Hebrews 11, whole of faith as a righteous woman, as a faithful woman who pleased God. And God is saying, this too is how he is saved and will serve you, even all Gentile sinners, the same as the Jews. And that is the scandal of grace. Verse 22 of Joshua 2. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. After the spies had finished their vows to Rahab and family and teaching them about God's way of salvation, the way of the shed blood, they went to the mountain and stayed 3 days there. See how faithful the spies were to the instructions. They did not say, 3 days, oh, that's too long. We'll get eaten by mosquitoes. Let us cut it down to just 1.5 days. No, they were for the 3 days. And for them to be there 3 days, They were there 3 days and three nights. And that is Christ who is dead 3 days and three nights, the sign of Jonah. And when he died, this is what happened. His pursuers could not find him because the spies are pictures of Christ. And so when Christ died, his pursuers could not find him. Sin and death could not find him. Condemnation could not find him. The law could not find him. And that means they could not find you either, because there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You were in Christ. You were with Christ. The good news of the gospel is that your pursuers who sought your life cannot find you anymore, because God has put you in Christ. And Christ has overcome them by his wisdom, by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify the many. Verse 23. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain and crossed over. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all that had befallen them. They were surely types of Christ. But they were surely, in this story, they were types of Christ. They descended from the mountain and crossed over the Jordan. And they came to Joshua and reported back all that had happened. They explained to him of their mission, the success of it, and the covenants that they had made with the one Rab unto salvation. So you see there that Joshua is a type of God the Father in this picture, in this part of the story. Because the two spies are a type of the resurrected Christ, who is reporting back of the success of the mission on earth about the accomplished redemption. They come to Joshua and they can't report of anything else but victory. And they said to Joshua, verse 24, truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. The inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. And that, my friends, means the devil and his minions were faint-hearted at the coming of Christ. Christ made a public spectacle of them on the cross. Jesus said, the ruler of this world has been condemned. He has been judged. Herod was afraid when Christ showed up and he sought to kill him. But fundamentally, sin, death, and condemnation are the inhabitants of this world. And only Christ could bring defeat to them. Only Christ could make them faint-hearted. And that is the gospel, my friends. All your enemies have been made faint-hearted because of Christ. All your pursuers cannot find you because of Christ. And so the writer of Hebrews comes again in Hebrews 11:31 and says, by faith the hallowed Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. By faith Rahab did not perish. See where her faith was. Her faith was in the scarlet cord. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, you Hebrew Christians, should you not perish, your faith too has to be directed to the scarlet thread, the Lord Jesus Christ, not to Moses. Bingo. That's the point. If Rahab was saved, she was not saved by her attempts at doing the law. Rahab was a Gentile. It's very purposeful that the Holy Spirit has done to say, look at this Gentile harlot. She came into God's salvation not by way of being put under Moses, but by way of faith. And you, sinner, who is in my hearing, if you should not perish, you have to look to where the harlot looked. Harlots look to the scarlet thread for their salvation. Okay? Question. Are you one of them? Are you a harlot? Because many people say, no, I'm not a harlot. I've been married to one husband. I've been married to my wife for all my life. My friend, that does not matter when it comes to salvation. The question is, are you a harlot? And what do you have hanging on your window of faith? The good works of Rahab in the flesh did not save her. She was already a harlot. Her good work was obedience to faith, not obedience to law. What saved her was what she looked to, the scarlet cord hanging on a window. And that means Christ alone. This is the gospel of grace. This is God's gospel. This is Jesus on display. This is the message that ministers hope to all the harlots. The harlots always find visitors in the person of Christ. If you are a harlot for sure, Christ will visit you. But the self-righteous are condemned. The self-righteous are unbelievers. May the Lord show you of your harlotry. And that means show you your sin and cause you to look only to the scarlet cord by the window, the blood of Christ for your salvation. Amen. We are done. We are done. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless you for the wonderful testimony of our sister, Rahab the prostitute, and the testimony of how she was saved from sin and death. She was saved not by attempts at law keeping. She was saved by the testimony of the scarlet thread that was hanging by a window, the picture of Christ, the crucified Christ. And if we are to be saved also, Lord, we have to bring the testimony of the harlot as those who are harlots and as those who only have Christ for their righteousness and holiness and redemption and wisdom. This truth, Lord, is not understood by many. They misconstrue what we teach because they don't see the simplicity of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. May you help your people with understanding. I pray and I honor you for all things. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.